Let us pray. Heavenly Father, give light to the eyes of our minds. Open the eyes of our hearts that we might see and follow the light of your wonderful word through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As we eavesdrop on his prayer in John 17, Jesus is at a pivot point in his life and ministry. His three-year season of public ministry, of teaching and healing and deliverance, is now concluded. And with the next chapter, the story of his suffering, trial, death, and resurrection begins to unfold. John 17 is the moment of transition from one part of his life and ministry to the next. How and where does Jesus make this transition? John tells us we have to go back a few chapters to get the answer to that question, but we go back to chapter 13 and we find out Jesus marks this transition in private, at a meal with his closest disciples, where we see him washing their feet, where we hear him telling them about the next chapter, his betrayal and death. He then preoccupies them with the Holy Spirit for a couple of chapters. And at the end of their conversation, he looks up to heaven and says, "Father, the moment has come." That is how Jesus marks the transition. And in the prayer that follows those words, Jesus dedicates himself to the next chapter. He marks the ministry he has completed and prays for his disciples, for their protection, for their unity, for their joy, and for all those who will believe through their witness. That's how he does it. In private, in prayer, with his closest friends, Jesus marks the transition. In our reading from Acts chapter 1, we find the apostles also in a moment of transition. They have lived through the 3 years of Jesus' public ministry. They've come through the ordeal of Jesus' suffering and trial and death. And together, they have enjoyed 6 weeks of fellowship and teaching with the risen Jesus. Now, Jesus prepares them for the next chapter. And this is what he says. "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait. Wait for the gift I told you about, the gift my Father promised. John immersed you in water, but in a few days you will be immersed in the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be filled with power, and you will be witnesses for me in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So that's what's coming. That's the next chapter. But meanwhile, where and how do the disciples mark this transition, with Jesus gone and the Holy Spirit not yet arrived? Verse 12 tells us where. They're in Jerusalem, as instructed. To be more precise, verse 13 says there is an upper room or apartment where the apostles are staying. Verse 14 tells us they are gathering in private for prayer, along with Jesus' brothers and mother and the women, as Luke refers to them. And we would expect that he means Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Susanna, the women who had underwritten Jesus' public ministry. All in all, boys and girls, a group of up to 120, gathering together in private to pray. That is how they are waiting. That is how they are marking this transition. And it's in that context that we hear the story that was read this morning of casting lots to replace Judas, who has died, with Matthias. The casting of lots to replace Judas with Matthias. Good idea or bad idea? Good practice or bad practice? Rhys, what do you reckon? It seems a strange way of doing it. Yes. Okay. Thank you, Rhys. And you've already heard this. What do you reckon? Could be bad practice. Who thinks it might be a good practice? Yes. A few hands think it might be a good practice. Who thinks it might be a bad practice? A couple of hands and heaps of undecided people. Which is fair enough because Luke doesn't appear to express an opinion on the matter at all. There's no value language in the text to clue us exactly what Luke makes of it. Luke doesn't say, the silly disciples then went and did this, which would give us a clue. He doesn't say, then Peter had a brilliant and God-anointed idea, which might also give us a clue. He doesn't list consequences to show they'd got the right person. So it is difficult to say. That's why we're not sure. Luke just tells us that that's what happened. But for what it's worth, let me just point a few things out. It is the first and last time we ever hear of Matthias. It is the first and last time we ever hear of casting lots in the New Testament. Indeed, when the apostles are commissioned, new apostles, I should say, are commissioned in Acts 13, new leaders selected, Luke says this, while they were worshiping and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Paul for the work to which I am calling them, so we set them apart. And the casting of lots is not mentioned. When you look at chapter 1 of Acts as a whole, and when you survey the church as a whole, from the 1st century AD to the 21st century AD, from north to south, from east to west, I think it casts light to ask, what patterns have persisted? What patterns have persisted? Well, gathering privately to pray together, that's persisted. That's universal. That happens throughout the churches. That caught on. Waiting in prayer for the power of the Spirit. Yes, that is widespread throughout the churches. That caught on. Casting lots to appoint your church leaders. Not so much. I don't know of any denomination that officially does it that way. It has not caught on. You might not think we've found a better method, but I just note those things. But there's certainly another pattern, a much larger pattern, that does persist. And this is the one that I would invite you to consider in the week ahead. Jesus marked his transition in private with his closest disciples in prayer before the public arrest, trial, scourging, death, and resurrection. There's the pattern. The disciples, too, marked their transition in private, together, in prayer. Before their public ministry of preaching and healing as Jesus did and being witnesses to the ends of the earth, there's the pattern. It's a pattern of private preparation followed by public ministry. Cocooning followed by engagement. Clustering followed by scattering. Scrummaging followed by playing. Gathering followed by going. It's a pattern you may recognize in your own life because there's something strangely universal about it. It's certainly a pattern you can see repeated in the lives of many great saints throughout the ages. Think of Ignatius Loyola. For example, Ignatius Loyola is renowned for his powerful public ministry, founder of the Society of Jesus in the 1500s, in its beginning, a powerful agency of mission and revival internationally. But first, Ignatius's preparation was 3 years of cocooning. 2 years in hospital, in traction, in occupational therapy, after a cannonball to the legs had closed the previous chapter of his life as a soldier. Ignatius' cocooning continued. He spent a year living alone in a cave outside Jerusalem when the church authorities told him not to preach there. 3 years of cocooning before his powerful public engagement. Or, to pick another example at random, think of Francis of Assisi, one of the most famous public ministries in the history of the church. But first, 2 years of cocooning, ill, in bed, broken down, another veteran of war, invalided out and recovering. The previous chapter of his life violently concluded, and here he is cocooning. So there's the pattern. Cocooning, then engagement. And as Francis and Ignatius both illustrate, cocooning is not always easy. And it is not always something looked for. Sometimes, indeed, we resist the transitions in our lives. Sometimes we resist the changing of seasons in our lives. We want to hold on to the last chapter, just as the apostles would have wished to have held on to the risen Jesus. Or we want to fast forward to the next chapter, just as I'm sure the apostles would have liked to have fast forwarded to being clothed in power by the Holy Spirit. When the apostles ask, "Is it now that you're going to restore Israel?" they're really wanting to fast forward. And Jesus says to them in reply, "The times and seasons are set by my Father's own authority. The times and seasons are set by my Father's own authority." You can't cling to the old season, and you can't fast forward to the next season. Jesus marked his transition in private with his closest friends in prayer in John chapter 17. The apostles marked their transition in Acts 1 in private with their closest friends in prayer. If any of us is in such a transition, perhaps there is a lead we might follow. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.